Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
G'day, Liam and MG from the Rush Hour here. We know we're not back on air. We know you can't wait to hear from us, but we are going to be back very, very soon. But until then, we are going to keep you entertained because, MG, time to tell some stories.
Yes, it is. And the story time today with MG as we sit down and make ourselves comfortable while you grab a bottle of wine or just maybe a glass of wine or a cup of coffee and a Tim Tam. These poor bastards who are playing now are going through pre-season training.
And it's hot right now.
And it's
too.
Very hot. It's been stifling, especially in where I am in the western suburbs of Sydney and all up and down the coast where it doesn't matter what the temperature, the training is just torturous. It started back in November. Now they're nearing the end, and you can imagine the relief on every player's face when they know that there's only a couple of weeks of pre-season training to go until we get the ball, we start working out players' moves and all that type of stuff. And I thought I'd really leave just a couple, maybe one from each club I played at as far as ones that stood out for mine.
Pre-seasons.
As far as pre-season training runs go.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, when I rocked up to Penrith in 1985, I was 17. I'd never done weights before in my life, and they had this thing under the grandstand called a Nautilus machine.
Mm-hmm.
Where you basically you put your head or chest or and you push out and it pushes back the same strength.
Mm.
So I had to go with that. I was going okay. Then I jumped into a neck machine where you put one leg forward, one leg back. You hold your hands onto the grips. You put your neck up into this thing and you push your neck forward and you push your neck back.
Ooh.
And you do sets of 10. After the first set, I got out and I went, oh shit, I feel a bit dizzy. And then the old trainer, wasn't old then, but Ronnie Oxley, legend of a bloke, he said, oh, you'd be right, big fella, just do another one and just make sure you, get in there and breathe. And so I was doing it. And then all of a sudden I wake up and I'd fainted. I'd fainted inside the apparatus. I didn't breathe. I was that shitting myself looking around, seeing all these first graders watching me that I didn't breathe. And I woke up with all this water getting put over my head.
Oh, no.
It's the first and only time I've ever fainted.
Oh.
The week later, this is when I really realised that I was in with the big boys because I'd gone from under 17s rugby league to, training with every Tuesday night fitness was with every 50-man squad, under 23s, reserve grade and first grade. Now, first one was we jogged from Penrith Park over to Jemison Park, which was about a K,
yep,
a bit under. Once there, we were put into our groups, front rowers and second rowers, halves, hookers, 5/8s and centres and fullbacks and et cetera, et cetera. And then Ronnie Oxley would tell us what we're doing. Righto, boys, tonight, 6 800s, 8 400s,
ooh,
and 10 200s.
Ooh, that's a lot of running.
And then we're going to finish with a 2.5 time trial. And that it was hard. It was, well, that goes without saying, but the 2.5 time trial, if you didn't make 9 minutes 30 as a back, or 10 minutes as a forward,
jeez,
you'd go straight to the extra session club, which is basically called the fat club
days. Yep.
But then we would do that once a week, the time trial under the coaching of Timmy Sheens, who was right into his fitness and skills. And all the way up until the first comp game, if you didn't get that time, you wouldn't play first grade. So blokes like Brad Izzard and Daryl Broman, who were both well and truly first grade players, they couldn't get the time. So at training most nights, on the Tuesday night we'd do the time trial, we would actually be pushing Daryl and Wiz behind them, like, come on, boys, come on, let's do this. You've got to be in first grade. You can't be playing reserve grade. You're too good for that. Like, Wiz played Origin in 82. So that was some memory ones. I remember one also.
So you're doing a weight session while you're doing a running session.
Yeah, exactly.
Like sled sessions.
Yes. But same club, Penrith, 1991. We got to the grand final, and after stuffing up the year before by, doing everything wrong, we did everything right this time, and we went out to the army barracks, which were about 5 km to the south of Penrith, and we went in. As you walk in, there's an armed guard on the gates. They close the gates. There's barbed wire all around, and we just went in there for 2 weeks and trained every second day and just bashed ourselves, and we all agreed not to have a drink for that 2 weeks. And I remember our last training run on the Thursday night before the grand final on the Sunday, Phil Gould brought out two cases of Tui's and we all sat around our two beers each and just that was it. We kind of knew that we're going to win the comp.
You knew in that preseason?
I think we did, yeah. Looking back, probably at the time I didn't, but looking back, compared to what we did the year before, yeah, I think I knew that we're going to win the comp. We changed our jerseys, we changed everything, and now we're in the big dance again against the team that beat us last year. I think that's why we clung on so much in the game, and when I got Simbin and Roy Simmons played so well, I just think it was our destiny.
You wonder if Ricky Stewart and the Raiders boys are sitting around at the moment having similar thoughts. I wonder if how much they've changed about their preseason, getting as close as they did, whether they're sitting around currently looking at one another and what they've just been through and thinking this is now our year.
Well, it's a long way to the top if you want to wear rock and roll. It's a long way from preseason day one, which was back in November for most of these clubs, to the first week in October or the last week in September to get beat.
But you reckon that based on 91, you think that there would no doubt be clubs who are sitting around looking at each other, looking at the personnel and looking at the effort they've just put in, thinking
we can do this.
We can do this.
100%.
On the other side of the coin, would there be any clubs that be sitting around looking at personnel and looking at their preseason, and would there be any clubs that would be honest enough with themselves to say, look, we're not going to be contending this year?
I think to themselves, I don't think the coaching staff, if they're worth what they're getting paid, would say that openly to their players.
Okay.
I think you've got to have hope in any situation, no matter what. Look at Parramatta and Manly this year. That's your hope. That gives you the hope. The Parramatta and Manly, both, you know, Manly 15th, Parramatta 16th. So there's your template. So that's what you go off.
All right, we're not previewing the season, though. No, we're talking about, we're nostalgic.
Okay, Balmain, 1993, when I went to Balmain for a year, Les Hobbs was our trainer there, and basically Alan Jones was just giving free rein of a, seemed to be Tuesday nights, so it was always fitness night. And one of my first nights there was a 13K bay run.
Oh.
Yeah, which I wasn't much into the long distance. About halfway through it, I was with Jason Sinclair and a young kid who was playing reserve grade, who's now a publican out west at the Colton Hotel, called Mark Bilsma. And we kind of looked at each other at the same time. And we kind of just stopped sprinting and stopped and just started walking and looking at each other. And we all had the same idea. We held a cab down. We jumped in the back of the cab. I remember we had no money on us because we'd obviously, so I gave.
Because you were running a 13K
I had a Tigers training shirt on that I gave to the cab driver as payment. So we've gotten back to the, he dropped us out about, you know, I said, we can't win it. There's no way we can win it. That'd be too obvious. So he dropped us out about 200 metres before the end of the thing, and we jumped straight in the bushes, and we watched the first probably five or six blokes run past, and we wait until there's a gap, threw water over us, and then sprinted to the end. We go, oh man, how hard was that? Everyone's going,
yeah.
Well, I said to Mark Bismarck, start breathing heavier, mate, because he was a big lad. I said, start breathing heavier. 2 days later, Jonesy's ringing. Jonesy called me. He said, mate, can you come and see me on Thursday morning?
Oh, no.
Yeah, sure, buddy. What about? He goes, oh, not just want to see how you're going and all the type of stuff. You know, just how the transition's going from Penrith.
Yeah.
He said, he got me in his office at Leichhardt Oval. He said, you cheated on Tuesday, didn't you?
Oh, no.
I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? He said, where I get the paper in the morning when I go to the radio, he's actually, when he doesn't sell papers in the morning, afternoons, he drives cabs.
Oh, you're kidding.
And he's got this shirt that he gave me yesterday. And it was my shirt. I went, yeah, we cheated now.
Oh, you dobbed your mates in too?
Yeah, I said, we cheated now. Mark Bilsma, Jason Sinclair, mates.
Was there any repercussion? Did you have to run it again?
Nah, Jonesy, mate, I was one of Jonesy's favourites. He loved me.
All right.
So, no, I didn't run it again. I said, mate, I can't do long distance now. He goes, okay, mate, you know what? Go in the gym.
Okay.
Down the gym.
Just not that Nautilus machine. Stay away from that thing.
But as we are all, you know, relaxing and getting over our New Year's Eve and Christmas, Christmas weight and blues, just think of the poor buggers out there who are busting their gut. And look, it is fun. It's the reason I retired, pre-season training, because it was so tough.
Mm.
But looking back, gee, I had some fun doing it.
Absolutely. Well, MG, they are Jeez. I'd love to have done one pre-season with you just to see.
You would have loved it. I always used to love doing it as well. When I'd go to training, and a lot of blokes would, you know, pack their bags before training because we could sweat your ass off and you have a shower after training. And I just didn't take a towel or clothes with me just because I knew that someone else would have them in their bags. So I'd knock off one of the blokes' towels. They'd go, MG.
Oh.
Anyway, I was a bad boy back then.
You're a bad boy. Hey, mate, 15 pre-seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was 85 to 2000. So they were all hard too. Very hard.
Aside from the long distance time trials, what was the one drill where if the coach blew the whistle and said, we're getting ready for this?
There was two that jumped straight to mind. Wanda Sand Dunes. When you were going to Wanda to do the sand dunes, you knew that you were going to be crook for a week after it with your legs. You couldn't, lactic acid would be profound.
Mm.
And when Gus would watch you do things on the field and he was in a cranky mood, he'd do it was called the ups and downs, where the whole team would line across the field and he'd have a whistle. And as soon as he blew the whistle, you'd have to get on your arms and on your stomach with your arms and legs straight out like Superman on the deck.
Mm.
And if one bloke didn't have, where he had half a leg out, or we'd have to do another lap. Oh. One night we did 31 laps. And he'd blow the whistle every three metres.
Oh, that is cruel and unusual. Last question about pre-season I want to ask you. We just had the Code War towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
You do boxing as part of your pre-seasons at any point? Any sparring?
A lot of mitt work, a lot of bag work, but not much sparring with each other. I was actually, in my first year of retirement, which was 2001, I was actually Penrith's boxing coach.
Really?
Yeah. I said to Simo, look, I retired and I didn't really have much that I had looking. I didn't have plan B, so I needed to do something.
Well, media career hadn't taken off just
well,
yet.
Well, I didn't know what I was going to do, mate. I just, he said, no, you can train the forwards. He said, I want you to do some boxing training with them, get them in the ring together. And so that was the first time we ever did it. And I jumped in with a few of the boys. Fitness, I think boxing was probably the hardest thing. I think.
Well, with that
and swimming.
Damien Monkhurst knows you can throw him, but who was the bloke through your playing career and your pre-seasons that you reckon maybe could have had a secondary career as a boxer?
I think there was a couple, probably Peter Kelly and Matt Goodwin. Right. Matty Goodwin's young bloke, Lou, won the rookie that I filmed a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Lou Goodwin. His dad was one of them guys who, in that year I was talking about when I fainted, he'd always go back to the farm, West Wylong, to help with the family, shear sheep and you know, I remember sitting there that day I fainted, waking up, and I'm looking out of the western sun as the sun's kind of setting and looking at this bloke walking towards me thinking it was the Hulk. He had a pair of cut-off denim shorts with a white singlet with sweat dripping off him and a bag over his shoulder with his long – and it was Matty Goodwin. And from that day on, I just followed what he did. He's a hard trainer, a champion bloke, and one of my favourite all-time teammates.
Outstanding. There it is. Story time with MG. Pre-season year. A small insight into what rugby league players go through in their pre-seasons. We will be back on air very, very soon, straight after the Australia Day long weekend. So until then, make sure you're enjoying yourself. Look after yourself and one another. And of course, MG.
He's Liam. I'm MG. We'll see you on the 28th. Until then, stay random.